You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Goes long, something's wrong, right? It's my house. Anyway, welcome to this house, a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Going to go down today and do post-traumatic winning and hang out at the Marine West Expo, which is pretty cool, pretty cool. And so having a great time. And you know what it reinforces for me, anyway? Reinforces for me why the organization is so unique, right? It's door number 4, and people laugh, right? But then somebody used it to me in an email yesterday. They just heard it yesterday. And I'm drinking a little tea this morning. Yeah, hello. Yeah, they sent me an email last night. They were fired up and said it is the reason why we go through door number 4. So, for those of you who don't understand what door number 4 is, it is, right, the smart guy service, smart girl service. Guys used non-generically, okay? Smart person service. You can join the See the World service. The other two kind of do the same thing. One's pretty reasonable. One is fanatical, narcissistic, and you don't want any part of their recruit training. So, which will it be? I'll take number four. All right. And now, mind you, that choice, with all the most people, right, don't know anything about the mythology that surrounds our own recruit training. So, you know, they don't know too much about it. And they choose that. So it is truly what makes us different. It's truly what makes us different. And, you know, we get, you know, the Marine Corps training and all that. But it's the human capital that looks at that. It's the brain that looks at that. The mind that looks at that. The human being that looks at that and says, yeah, that's what I want. That's a different human being. And so I call it door number four. What's also very interesting is the people that are attracted to, the men and women who are spouses of the people that go through door number four, they got issues too. Yeah, so if you think your wife's or your husband's getting out of it, they're not. Yeah, it's like, yeah, they're interesting. You're probably more interesting because you look at that and say, that's Romeo or that's Juliet. Yeah, all right, you got issues. So anyway, it's pretty funny, pretty cool, but, you know, just reminded of the significance of the strength and power of that tribe, of that experience, and never getting too far away from it. What does that mean? I don't know what that means in your life. Whether that means that, like me, you text your buddies that you're best friends with and you stay in touch with them so that when you need their help, you know, they're around. Does it mean that you join the Marine Corps League and contribute? Maybe, right? Maybe, probably something you ought to think about if you haven't already. So, it's a cool tribe, man. I'm not going to lie to you. And so just hanging out with all the different people you meet and the great stories you meet and just the selfless, tough people that you meet in the Marine Corps and what they're doing, you know, not on active duty, certainly good, right? But off active duty, I would argue they're doing probably better stuff. First of all, there's more of us and they're all over the place doing all kinds of good stuff. So it's very cool, very cool. So I had a great time yesterday, did the show, headed down to Camp Pendleton, and then set up my little booth. That's right. Got my sign up there, All Marine Radio. So I got to get a second sign that says Home of Post-Traumatic Winning. So, yeah, I could, and you can get that printed up in about 30 seconds. So... but I don't have time today. I'll do the show and then head down there and kind of do the same thing. And then hang out and talk to people and, which is for me, again, it's, I tell everybody, I'm the coolest guy you know right now because of post-traumatic winning and what that people are, when they hear it, they're like, whoa, this is awesome. This is it. This is where we need to go. So, you can imagine being the person. I mean, those are my thoughts, right? Those are my ideas, and you know, there's been people that have helped me certainly, but when you watch how touched people are and how much they want to, how much they care and want to make a difference, and they look at that and they say, "We are totally on board with that. Let's go." It's pretty cool. So yeah, I'm the coolest guy I know right now. So it's pretty cool to be Fonzie. I'm not going to lie to you. So today I'll give the, post-traumatic winning pitch at 11 o'clock. If you know anybody at Camp Pendleton and you're listening to this, tell them to come on down. 22 area. There's a tent, as you walk into the main entrance of the expo. Off to the left, there's a tent just before you go in there. And and you can stick your head in there at 11 o'clock, and you'll find me. So anyway, it was interesting talking to people from the Marine Corps League yesterday, because they've been searching for a way to help, and they, a bunch of them sat in the class, and they were like, "Ooh, man." And then it's funny because somebody was in there with their wife, and then I was talking to her, and she said, "You were talking, and I was poking him." I'm poking him, right? We need to do this. We got, like, the words that all men hate to hear. We got to talk. Like, oh, shit. But you know what? Only good comes out of it, so don't be afraid. Let me tell you, that's the lesson of this. Of all of this, is if you'll talk about it, you get through pretty much anything. You don't need to go see a therapist to do that, for God's sakes. You know? Sit down and unburden yourself with somebody. You know, and it ought to be your spouse. Like, oh, I can't tell you about this stuff, but you're going to be the shock absorber for it, and you're going to watch me go through all this stuff, but I can't talk to you about it. You know, I had a woman tell me yesterday, look, if I can go through childbirth, I can listen to your story, okay? Trust me, I can do that. The only thing it's going to do, bring me closer to you. You afraid? You don't want to go there, boyfriend? Huh? pretty interesting, the female perspective on all this. Oh, you're a tough guy? Over there acting like a kook, keeping your little secrets? Want to play I Got a Secret? How about this? How about we try this? How about we talk about it? So, yeah, and you know, you hear these stories like, yeah, my grandfather never talked about it. He was in World War II, he never talked about it. But he was at the VFW every day at 4:30 getting drunk. All right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm thinking it's probably a bad thing. So anyway, a whole bunch of interesting experiences yesterday. And so you know what, I very much believe, and I told people that were affiliated with both efforts, both organizations, yesterday, this. The Marine Corps League and Marine for Life ought to be involved in post-traumatic winning. It is perfectly designed for their involvement, because they are designed to be the linking files to Marines once they get off active duty. Okay? And as such, right, one of the first things they ought to tell people is, hey, man, if you need to talk, call us. We are here to talk. We haven't always been here ready to talk, because we've been faking it like everybody else. But guess what? We ain't faking it anymore. We don't need to. I think we're far enough advanced that we can just tell the truth. Yeah, we're fucked up and we want to talk about it, right? And let me tell you, I think the humorous part of that is important. Put it out there. We're fucked up and we ain't afraid to talk about it, right? And I think you poke a little fun at it, and guess what happens? Some of the icicles fall off, and all of a sudden, we're going to have a conversation. Yeah, even old Larry couldn't talk about it. Hey, Larry, what's up? So, anyway, great day. And then last night, after all that, hopped in my car, and I headed down to the San Marcos area for a mixer that the Sugar Bear Foundation put together. They hosted. So Jennifer Carrazzo, who you've heard on this program, her husband Mario, was shot down and killed in action. In Helmand Province in the late summer of 2010. So Jennifer started the Sugar Bear Foundation, and Sugar Bear is his call sign. And what they do is they help other nonprofits raise money. So they partner with nonprofits and help them. So, and Jennifer's awesome. So they hosted an event down in San Marcos. So I went to that, and I got a chance to meet a little bit of a legend of the Marine Corps, Sergeant Major Joe Hull. So got a chance to meet him and talk to him, and just a great, great guy. He is. He is on the board. He might be the chairman. He is on the board of the Carolina Museum of Marines. And he, and so you're going to hear from him on this program. They've designed the thing. I want to say it's 40,000 square feet and, devoted to, Marines of, that have, toiled in, North Carolina. So, you'll meet Sergeant Major Joe Houle here, at some point in the not too distant future. And, also met, somebody who worked down at the museum at MCRD, which is pretty popular since they opened it. So anyway, just meeting people, and then, had a chance to hang out with Mike Regner. And his wife, Mary. Mary's writing a book. So she and I had a couple of long conversations about post-traumatic winning and the things involved in that. So anywho, that's what I did yesterday. And I'll do a similar version of that today. So looking forward to it. And then this thing goes to, in April, it goes to Camp Lejeune. So I'll do the same thing there. And so looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. On the program today, the chef will not be here. And you are going to hear from Colonel Steve Arms. And Steve is the head of the Force Fitness Initiative in the Marine Corps. And so you're going to hear from him where fitness is headed to the Marine Corps, in the Marine Corps, and this whole idea of a warrior athlete with athletic trainers, and that's what they are. Really some fascinating stuff. He talked about, you'll hear in the interview that we recorded yesterday afternoon, you'll hear in the interview him talking about simple things that athletes would do, but we as Marines have never done. You know, for instance, when you talk to people that have worked at the School of Infantry, they'll talk about the drops they have in hikes. And so one of his guys in I think his S3 said to him, you know, if we change the route of the hike, and if those of you who are familiar with the West Coast where School of Infantry is, it's at the foot of a series of mountains, all right? So there's a riverbed, and then the riverbed goes up to what's called the shelf, right? And then there's mountain tops above the shelf. The shelf is kind of a shelf-looking thing, and there's a road on it and all the rest of that stuff. So, you know, the theory is you go up at the start when they're strongest, and then you come down, and then, you know, you finish in the riverbed. Well, the officer said, hey, you know, the temperature in the riverbed, there's no breeze, and when it's warm, it's stifling in there, and we're trying to end the hike down there. It's killing guys. How about if we ended on the shelf where it's cooler and the wind blows? Why don't we try that? What do you think happened? Exactly. Number of drops went down. Then the next thing was Steve gave a class on nutrition, and he talks about the class he gave, so I'm not going to steal his thunder, but little things like eating an energy bar and the gel shots that people do in triathlons, right, with electrolytes and things like that. What do you think happened then? Drop rate went down even further. So it's like, oh, what do you mean? Marine Corps meets, like, the modern world? We're not just going to gut it out and drink water? Yeah. Is there something wrong with that? No. So it's very interesting where it's going. And there's a parallel, a tie-in with post-traumatic winning. And you'll hear that kind of towards the end of it. So pretty cool stuff. So you'll hear from him today. You'll also hear from the gunner today. And as we get going through here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. Whitney Houston, as she does on Friday, sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to the all the people that are involved in the Marine Corps League around the country. And so they do all kinds of stuff. They're very prominent at the Marine West Expo in their red blazers and their piss cutters. So dedicated to them and the selfless work they do. Yesterday they were incredibly enthusiastic about post-traumatic winning. And so dedicated to them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It's the signature word in the whole event. Winning. All right. Time to check the weather. Currently foggy in 46 in Quantico. It is mostly sunny in 66 at Camp Lejeune. Just when I said it was unseasonably warm in Texas, it is cloudy in 24. Yup. Nah, I'm not joking. In 29 Palms, it is clear and 30 degrees this morning. Congratulations to them at Camp Pendleton. It is clear and 33. In Okinawa, Japan, it is cloudy, dark, and 65 degrees. So pretty normal there. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloudy and 61. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is cloudy and 51. And at the home of All Marine Radio, it is clear. Normally isn't clear this time of day. 41 degrees. Looking for a high today of 61. Rain tonight, clouds tomorrow, and 60. And on Sunday, rain and 58. This is stupid, man. This is unsat. Whose idea was this kind of bullshit, like Midwest, East Coast weather? Not part of the program. All right. We're going to take a break. We will check news headlines next on this Friday. So, no chef today. He's sad about that, by the way. And you're going to hear from Colonel Steve Arms, United States Marine Corps. Yeah. Good guy, Southern California guy, grew up in a Marine family, and didn't intend to make the Marine Corps career, but sometimes that stuff happens. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears. When I reach there, I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out. But right now
we continue on a Friday with Check the News. The one and only Peyton Davis. You can hear the interview I did with Peyton, actually. And, I mean, she tells an incredible story. First of all, she's a master sergeant in her JROTC unit. Yeah. But Peyton's father committed suicide when she was a junior in high school. And she talks about taking the police over to the house and how that impacted her life. And, you know, how much she misses her dad and her own feelings of guilt for not seeing it. So, yeah, you should check that out. P-E-Y-T-O-N, Peyton Davis. So you just search in the window of Allmarine Radio. He's going to listen to that. So hopefully at some point Peyton's going to be able to join us doing post-traumatic winning. Yeah. I'm fired up to do that. Anyway, check some headlines here across the Marine Corps and some kind of interesting stories, although not so many in the Marine Corps this second, but in DODY. how the Syrian battlefield is preparing the core for a fight with Russia and China. Syrian battlefields are littered with a host of technology and weapons that range from Cold War relics to drones, sophisticated anti-tank system, Russian jets and anti-aircraft systems, even aggressive electronic warfare technology. The environment is proving to be invaluable to the Marines and the U.S. military commanders who deploy into the region. But it's also pushing Marines to retrain skills more salient for the Cold War, like camouflage, reducing electronic and observable images. So Marine Colonel George Schreffler, who's actually commanding officer of 5th Marine Regiment and has been overseas as the commander of the Special Purpose MAGTAF that's assigned to Central Command, told reporters during a media roundtable on Wednesday that the Marine Corps was learning valuable lessons about a number of high-end threats in the region. Schreffler, who I don't know, but I have friends who know him, and they say he's a great officer. So, but I've never met him. I hear about him, but I've never met him. He's one of those people that you hear about, and yet you haven't met. Schreffler and the Marines under his command deployed to the Central Command area of operations from April to December of 2018. There currently are threats out there, Schreffler said, and our air crews, in particular operating in the Central Command AO, had a significant opportunity to assess and deal with these threats. They're gaining significant operational experience that's going to make them more relevant in the future. So he talked about Syria. Right now in Syria, we're in the most aggressive electronic warfare environment on the planet from our adversaries. And this is a remark by General Tony Thomas, who's Special Operations Command. You're getting exposed to threats from adversaries to potential adversaries around the region that you can't replicate back in the United States. And they're making us more ready. So, anyway, so pretty interesting stuff coming out of Colonel Schreffler. And we'll see if we can get our hands on him. And find out, kind of deep dive into that stuff. VA says it has never been more cooperative with Congress, so why can't lawmakers get the answers they want? Kind of interesting. Democratic lawmakers are asking, if that's the case, why are they still struggling to get answers on a host of VA department policy issues? VA officials and congressional critics have been locked in an escalating fight this week over whether VA leadership has been forthcoming on a series of recent requests with an emphasis on new community care rules, which could dramatically expand the number of veterans receiving taxpayer-funded health benefits from private sector doctors. Oh, you mean I could go to my doctor and get quality health care and I don't have to go to the VA? That's interesting. The showdown calls into question whether Congress and the VA can continue to see the same type of legislative success they've enjoyed in recent years, with numerous high-profile bills being passed into law and brought into regular rotation in President Trump's stump speeches. Now, but again, what's at the center of it? What's at the center of it is congressmen saying, oh, we can't afford that. And that's always problematic. Because to me, this is at the heart of this. If you begin to outsource, they might actually use it, and it's going to drive the cost up. Oh, so what do you mean? Yeah, we don't really want to use it. We want to have those facilities out there. We want to be able to provide it on the cheap, right? It's the same thing with when we granted the ability to pass your GI Bill to your kids. What happened? Oh, shit, they started using it. So we went from a relatively low usage rate on the VA, but we can trumpet the shit out of it, right, as a benefit. But then when more and more people started using it, we had to take a look at that, like, whoa, hey, what's going on? We need to put more parameters on this, blah, 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 blah. So to me, that's the interesting part about this. At the end of the day, it's about money. It's about money. So, and that should shock nobody, right? They're going to say transparency, but what do they really mean? They really mean money. All right, several stories in the early bird I want to get to this morning. Number one, top enlisted military leaders pressed on unsafe housing and sexual assault. Members of a House subcommittee on Thursday chided senior leaders of the Army and the Air Force for failing to provide safe housing for military families and urged all services to work harder to reduce sexual assault in their ranks. In 2018, families across the Air Force began sounding the alarm on high levels of mold in their military homes, from MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, to Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. 11 families from Keesler Air Force Base in Mississippi filed a lawsuit in July against the company that manages housing at the base. In the Army, more than 1,000 children who lived in base housing across the country tested above the Centers of Disease Control, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's threshold for lead poisoning. Like, are you kidding me? Master Chief Sergeant of the Air Force, Caleb Wright, said his service's housing has an 82% satisfaction rate, but it is holding the project managers accountable, requiring them to spend $6.5 million to fix the issues. We're fully engaged. Sergeant Major of the Army, Dan Daly. Something wrong about that, okay. Dan Daly should be the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, but he's not. Sergeant Major of the Army, Dan Daly, told the panel that his senior leadership is very concerned about lead contamination in its housing, adding, I can't believe, honestly, that that's still an issue. Like, what's next? Asbestos makes a comeback? Adding that the service has spent $4 million to conduct inspections. You know what $4 million is to the Army? It's like the money that falls in the crack of your seat. We are fully aware of the hazards, have had a detailed plan to eliminate them, he said. Let me see if there's... Another issue raised by the panel was sexual assault in the military. The Defense Department in January released a report finding that incidents of sexual assault were up by 50% over the course of 2 years at the nation's military academies, a devastating portrait of the conduct that is occurring at schools, according to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who used to be the chairman of the Democratic Party and left that post with some issues. I'll leave it at that. There's no issue that is any more important, said Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, Russell Smith. Right. So, anyway, they were getting the whip cracked on them. But, you know, again, I think that you can't really start having a good discussion about this stuff until you kind of get more and broader facts. And that is, okay, so they're up 50%. The reporting's up 50%. Does that mean the incidents are up 50%? The answer to that is no, that's not what that means. It means that, and you'll see the same thing when you see domestic violence campaigns and you see call centers open up, that all of a sudden reporting goes up. Well, does that mean the number of incidents went up? No. It means they're just more comfortable reporting it. So, and then you have to compare the numbers at the Naval Academy for the numbers across all colleges. Are they higher, lower, right? So, anyway, I'm looking for the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Ronald Green, told the subcommittee that housing and infrastructure are a top priority for the Marine Corps, as more than 1,000 Marine families remain displaced from their homes as a result of two hurricanes last year. The need to get their facilities up and running, the resources they need to have safe homes, is paramount, Green said. For the most part, however, service members and families appear to be satisfied with their career choices and lifestyle. So, there you have it. And actually, when they start talking about that, if that's all that came out of it, right? And I'm not minimizing any, you know, the sexual assault stuff, but again, in order to have a mature discussion about that kind of stuff, you know, you got to have grown-ups, and you can't just be screaming for headlines, right? You got to have data, right? What is the culture at large? What are we at large? What is the trend over time in both our culture? For instance, and that's why suicide, you know, when I was a kid, right, as a Catholic, I mean, you can't commit suicide. You're going to go to hell, right? So it was a non-issue. And when somebody did it, I mean, it was a big deal. Like, they committed suicide? Like, oh my God. Well, now, young people these days, they've grown up in a culture where they're surrounded by suicide. And some very, very prominent, very, very successful people commit suicide. So, the taboo that used to be associated with it? Not so much, right? Not so much. So, as a result of that, you know, we're desensitized to it as people. That, yeah, it is a legitimate option. If I can't stand my life, then, yeah, all these other famous people are ending theirs. Why wouldn't I end mine? So, So anyway, when you try to have conversations about that, you know, and the suicide one, that's a big part of it. So, you know, where is the culture? What is, you know, I mean, because look, as much as we'd like to say we're separate from that, we're not, right? And then you begin to footnote it, right? And so that's why I read a story, and I need to go back and find it. It was a breakdown of the suicide statistics within the DOD. And the picture that gets painted by these statisticians relative to suicide in the DOD is much different than what you would hear from the people that scream 20 a day or 22 a day, those who have the number wrong. So they break it down culturally, right? And then demographically, and it's very, very interesting, right? So over half the suicide rate, number of 22 a day, they're white males over the age of 45. What's that all about? Okay, and then you begin. So when you take the other segments of that number and you begin to compare it to the culture at large, right? The results were not what you'd expect. I need to find that. So, anyway. Next story in the Early Bird. Marine Corps tests combat engineering applications of 3D printing. Now, in case you don't know it, I love 3D printing. Okay. Now, don't ask me why I'm fascinated by 3D printing, because I didn't know what it was. Okay. I didn't know what it was. So, I finally get somebody on to talk about 3D printing, and they explain it to me. And I was like a monkey watching a high-definition TV for the first time. What? Yeah, I could not believe what I was seeing. So I've been kind of fascinated with it. Yeah, the ability to produce repair parts, the ability to produce all kinds of stuff using all kinds of different materials locally and then put it to use. So here's a story from USNI News, United States Naval Institute News. Marines from 1st Marine Logistic Group formed a footbridge out of layers of concrete spewed by a 3D printer, and in a test of what the service sees as the future of combat logistics. The contraption used by the 1st MLG is called the Automated Construction of Expeditionary Structures, ACES printer. It's not deployable yet. However, the Marine Corps has high hopes for ACES printers in the field. Captain Matthew Friedel, the team leader of the Advanced Manufacturing Operations Cell at the Marine Corps Rapid Sustainment Office, said during a media conference call this week. Friedel previously wrote about the possible Marine Corps uses of 3D printing in the October 2016 edition of Proceedings. So pretty interesting, right? You need something to pump concrete, and then the 3D printer, you know, fashions this stuff, and all of a sudden, you got a bridge. Let me read you a few of the quotes. Quote, when we bring a medium girder bridge with us, it can only be used as a medium girder bridge. But if we bring a technology such as a concrete 3D printer, and we can locally source concrete, we can make not only bridges, but structures or engineering obstacles, or mobility or counter-mobility implementation. Yeah, that's all engineer talk, in case you don't know. We've always had welders and the ability to haphazardly make things, but now we're starting to discover these technologies to do more precision milling and manufacturing. A recent example, Friedel said, was a unit that had problems with a snowshoe clasp that kept breaking. They emailed a photo of the clasp next to a ruler to Friedel's team, which reverse engineered the clasp and emailed back data for a stronger clasp that could be printed by the unit themselves. How about that? And it got fixed. Didn't even have to use duct tape, right? If you can't duck it, fuck it. Yeah, exactly. That's crazy, right? 3D printer, man. Fixed it. Another 3D printer story. Yeah, I was looking for them today. How 3D printers are cutting down surgery times and helping vets get mobility back at VA hospitals. What? Some doctors use printers to produce patient records or referrals. Others use them to replicate human organs. That's what Dr. Beth Ripley is doing at the VA Puget Sound healthcare system in the state of Washington, which is where Puget Sound is. Granted, replicas are more plastic than tissue and don't function like the real thing, at least not yet. But in a growing number of VA hospitals using 3D printing technology, life-size replicas of human anatomy are helping surgeons cut down on operating times by as much as 2 hours, lowering costs and potentially helping patients heal faster. One of the magical things about 3D printing is that you can create these really complex structures that you can never make using traditional manufacturing. Radiologists like her can take a CT scan of a veteran's heart, for example, then print a nearly exact copy of that heart, of the faulty valve, in anywhere from 30 minutes to 30 hours for the surgeons to study. The same goes for tumorous kidneys and pelvises. Surgeons can look at it, figure out exactly what their plan is before they ever go into surgery, Ripley said. How crazy is that? Make a copy of your heart. All right, boys, let's sit down. How are we gonna hack this thing up? It's McNamara's heart. Didn't even think he had one. Prosthetic limbs are also in the research and developmental stage. Quote, there's a lot of lung injury that happens in combat situations, said Joe Potacki, a biomedical engineer at the VA hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who's working towards creating a 3D printed lung that he hopes will one day replicate the function of a real thing, of the real thing. Quote, exposure to smoke or even blast injuries result in lung injuries. Chemical exposure, other irritants can cause lung damage either short-term or long-term. That's why it's of interest of the VA to the VA system. Yeah, now you understand why I love 3D printing. Yeah. I love 3D printing. I'm not afraid to say it either, because that's the kind of guy that I am. I'm not afraid to show my emotions about 3D printing. Exactly, because I'm not afraid to talk about it. Because I hang out with I'm going to sell them. That's going to be their new slogan. Yeah. Marine Corps League. We ain't afraid to go there. Come down and talk with us. Something like that. Headline. Trump likely to sign executive order banning Chinese telecom equipment next week. Nice. The White House wants to highlight its commitment to telecom security and have a key wireless industry conference. President Donald Trump is expected to sign an executive order banning Chinese telecom equipment from U.S. wireless networks before a major industry conference at the end of February. Three different sources told Politico yesterday. The administration plans to release a directive, part of its broader effort to protect the U.S. system from cyber threats, before the MWC Barcelona, formerly known as the World Mobile Congress, which takes place February 25th through 28th. There's a big push to get this executive order out before the MWC, according to a source expressed, who spoke on a condition of anonymity. The Chinese telecom giants Huawei and ZTE have been in the Trump administration's crosshairs as part of a broader focus on Chinese national security threats that has paralleled the ongoing trade war. Trump officials have repeatedly slammed Beijing for its theft of intellectual property and its more traditional cyber espionage. So how about that? Lay the wood to those guys. Let me tell you, this has been so... And you know, really, you look at Presidents Obama and Bush, and you're like, at what point do you become a moral coward when you don't stand up for the right thing in the nation? Because you don't want to upset China? Because you don't want to upset that delicate economic balance we have going on? Come on, man. Come on, man. All right. Next story. The U.S. military is quietly launching efforts to deter Russian meddling. Ooh, what does that mean? Yeah, we're going to get after them in the cyber domain. With little public fanfare, U.S. Cyber Command, this is by David Ignatius, right? So this is not by, like, Mike McNamara. David Ignatius, right? At the Washington Post. So, David Ignatius. With little public fanfare, U.S. Cyber Command, the military's new Center for Combating Electronic Attacks Against the United States has launched operations to deter and disrupt Russians who have been interfering with U.S. political systems. Like other U.S. cyber warfare activities, the disruption effort against Russia is cloaked in secrecy, but it appears to involve, in part, a warning to suspected Russian hackers that echoes a menacing phrase that's a staple of any fictional crime and spy thriller. We know where you live. You! Nice. Beginning last fall, before the midterm elections, Cyber Command began directly contacting Russians who were linked to the operations, such as the Internet Research Agency, that allegedly helped coordinate Moscow's campaign to subvert the 2016 presidential election. The apparent aim was to put people on notice that their covers had been blown and that their ability to work and travel freely might be affected. U.S. officials believe the disruption effort has frazzled some of the Russian targets and may have deterred some interference during the midterms. The operation was first reported by the New York Times on October 23rd, and additional details have emerged from public and private sources. One unlikely public confirmation of the warning campaign came from Yevgeny Zubarev, the director of St. Petersburg-based federal news agencies. Justice Department prosecutors have alleged Zubarev's information website, known by the acronym FAN, was part of the same covert action network as the Internet Research Agency. Quote, "The United States Cyber Command writes to me to say that what I'm doing is wrong. Their job is to fight trolls," Zubarev told the Daily Beast in December. "We are defending the motherland on the informational fronts," but he denied he was involved in any alleged troll farm. So, pretty interesting little article by David Ignatius about what Cyber Command is doing. So again, I would submit to you that anything they can do, we can do better. There's a song with that title. All right? Anybody know? All right, this is a trivia question. What famous play, I thought I knew the answer to this, but I don't know that I do. Anything you can do, I can do better. I want to say it was in Damn Yankees, but it's not. Is it in Oklahoma? Ethel Merman. It looks like, looking from the costume. Annie, get your gun. Here's a little clip of it.
Well, for a minute, I thought you was getting to be a lady. It's going to be a pleasure to give you a lesson in marksmanship.
You couldn't give me a lesson in long-distance spitting. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
See the education you get when you listen to this show?
Anything you can be, I can be greater.
So that is, and I was the same thing with hypersonic weapons and whatnot. If the United States puts its financial resources behind that, it's not going to go well. All right, last story I want to talk about before you hear from about Force Fitness and that whole initiative. And it starts with instructors, and it goes to hiring athletic trainers for battalions to get Marines back in the fight and get their fitness levels up. It's very, very interesting stuff. It goes to technology and development of applications, and to include, like eating on humps and doing the things that triathletes would do out in the field so that you can sustain your body, help it recover, so that you can get more out of it. So pretty interesting stuff. So you'll hear from him next. Turkey faces serious odds in Manbij and Idlib. So these are the cities in northern Syria that have been at the center of the United States confrontation with Turkey. Now, what I said is Turkey talking a lot of shit, right? It hasn't gone well in Syria for the for Bashar al-Assad's crew, as they have gone down this road. And so the problem is that these insurgencies, they don't go away. Does Turkey have the ass to manage that? So the headline, Turkey faces serious odds. All right, Turkey finds itself in an increasingly difficult situation on two fronts in Syria. Its key priorities have boiled down to trying to keep Russian and Syrian regime forces out of Idlib on the one hand, and securing the departure of U.S. forces from Manbij and territories east of the Euphrates River on the other. The two topics will continue to drain Turkey's diplomatic energies in the coming weeks and months, and require subtle negotiations with the United States and Russia, if Ankara or Ankara, depending on how you pronounce that, is to make any headway in its plans for northern Syria. With Washington's determination to contain Iran and Russian plans to establish a strong presence in the Middle East by way of Syria, Ankara appears to be caught between two superpowers that it ultimately has little capacity to budge. Despite many rounds of talks with Moscow and Washington, Ankara has still made little progress on both counts so far. Positive statements from both sides about a determination to continue working closely to overcome differences may not change the picture at all. Turkey says the YPG and its political wing, the Democratic Union Party, are terrorist groups and has vowed to eliminate them from northern Syria. The feeling in Ankara is increasingly that President Donald Trump is under pressure to slow down, if not reverse, his decision to pull out of Syria. That, hello, right? The official Anadolu news agencies reported that this week that Washington was still sending heavy equipment to Manbij despite Trump's decision in December to remove U.S. troops from Syria. It carried footage from February 5th showing 400 trucks laden with electrical generators and high-mobility multi-purpose wheeled vehicles entering Manbij, which is currently held by U.S.-backed YPG. News of the fresh transfer to Manbij broke as Turkish and U.S. officials were meeting in Washington to discuss their differences on multiple issues, including Syria. Little progress appears to have been made. Ankara wants the Turkish military and its Syrian proxy, the Free Syrian Army, to take control of this zone. It also wants to send hundreds of thousands of the nearly 4 million Syrian refugees in Turkey who have started to pose a heavy social and economic burden on the country. Two settlements in this zone. Many analysts argue that Ankara is aiming to establish a strong foothold in northern Syria in order to ultimately curb all Kurdish aspirations of some degree of autonomy in the region. The results of Turkey's Operation Euphrates Shield and Operation Olive Branch, launched in 2016 and 2018 respectively, have provided some results for Ankara in this regard. They have, however, not been sufficient to shift the balance of power to Turkey's advantage. So, interesting stuff as always. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Colonel Steve Arms is going to join us. Again, we're going to talk Force Fitness. Had a chance to talk to him yesterday. You're going to hear that interview next on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. On your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.